Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Angel not only goes to Mary, but also goes to Joseph and clues him in and says, you don't worry, take her as your wife. This that is conceived in her is of God and from the Holy Spirit. And you begin to think, wow, God was doing some stuff. Now, what's significant about that? God's always doing some stuff, right? Well, yeah, kind of. But sometimes he's kind of quiet. You know, sometimes you and I will tell God, hey, I'll take it from here. I've got this. Remember when you were a little kid? Maybe you remember being a dad to a little kid and you've been working with them on their bicycle. And pretty soon, they're getting it. And you're running alongside, out of breath. Thankful you didn't have to be another 10 years older when you were doing this because you'd have probably had a coronary. But what it is when you have this kind of a relationship, you see, and the kid once in a while will say, I got it, Daddy, I got it, I'm going. And what I'm saying to you is that's what we do to God sometimes. It's like we don't feel like we need to pray when everything's going well. Going back to my point about, you know, praying, if we knew what would happen. Well, sometimes we need to recognize that God will let things go sideways, so we will pray more because he's needing to fortify us and fortify the kingdom and really get people who are lost out of harm's way. And the best time to do that is when you and I are struggling. So when you think about what's going to happen in January, I want you to know, don't count God's modus operandi out. You know, it says as his custom was, Paul would go into the synagogue. Do you know what God's custom is? It's to let the people of God sometimes go through hard times so the lost people will see what's really in us. So be mindful that God's good, even if it looks scary. But what we have here is we have 400 years at least of time where God had not been speaking through prophets. You have the stories and the histories of the Maccabees. Pretty amazing things God did there, miracle here and there. The way that Hanukkah was established, yeah, God was working, but not in revelation in the sense of giving a prophet. It's a long time, 400 years. Isn't that a long time? It's a long time. No prophet for 400 years to speak of. And no books from the Bible were written from that time, and all of a sudden things start popping. Man, wow, wait a minute, angels showing up. Haven't heard that in a while. 400 years. Prophet? No. Well, Zechariah said, I'm going to have a son. His name's John. That's kind of prophesying. Suddenly things are happening. We find, as we unfold the passage, even so, that God is never dormant. He's always on time and right on cue. Because the Bible says that Gabriel was sent to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. She was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David? Is that significant? Of course it's significant. We know the narrative of the histories. We know what God's been up to. God had given a promise to David that he would never cease to have a seed to sit upon the throne of his kingdom. In other words, David would always have somebody to sit on the throne. But they've not had a king since about 600 years. About 600 years, no king has sat on a throne in Israel. Well, wait a minute, God, you said... So why is it significant Joseph is from the house and lineage of David? Well, it's significant because he's actually a carpenter, but ultimately, he's the king. He is the king apparent. Directly in the line of David and bringing the birthright for the throne right to the proper hour. Right here. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, it pleased God to bring forth his son, made of a woman, but also coupled with a human stepfather because he's not his biological father. This is a miracle. But he's the guy. He's the heir apparent. And any of the great stories that the world tries to water down this one with, we're not even going to reference. I'm telling you, the king was there. He was a carpenter. He was swinging the hammer. That was real. This is not a story. This is a history. And he was of the house of David. Being of the house of David means that this is the very household that has a right to any kind of throne in the future. But the story always has intrigue, doesn't it? Because you see, back about 600 years before, there was a man named Jeconiah Jehoiachin was the name the Babylonians gave him, also called Kaniah. The Israelites had taken their time in apostasy to the nth degree. They'd taken it so far that finally God said, I'm done. I mean, things have been so bad. I mean, what am I to do? I mean, 100 years before Kaniah came onto the scene, the northern kingdom was taken by the Assyrians. You remember it because God seals it to your mind if you've read your Bible at all. A couple hundred thousand soldiers come down from Israel after taking it down. They come down to Judah and they're right around Jerusalem and they're mocking and they're, Rabshakeh is out there. He's talking, you know, what do we call today? Talking smack, you know, say, we're going to kill you. Your gods can't stop us. And overnight, the death angel went through their midst and all those hundreds of thousands of soldiers that were killed in that night by the death angel. And the Bible says that they actually had to leave, obviously, because of the soldiers dead all over the field without one sword being swung. You see, God puts it into our minds. But what am I saying? I'm saying basically they had a 100-year warning. They were told that if you misbehave, I'm going to have to pull back the hedge and the enemies will come. And they've come. Not only did they take down your brother, he said, not only did they take him down, you watched it and they came to your door and you were freaking out and shaking in your shoes. And I delivered you. 100 years later, they had pushed the envelope right back to wherever Israel had gotten. They were. They had images drawn on the house of God inside the walls. They're like graffiti of all the false gods. The women were worshiping Temuz. The elders were worshiping toward the sun with their back to the temple. Ezekiel got the picture. He was taken in the spirit to see all this, and it was bad. Now, you know what that is? That is a time of apostasy where even though you're standing right in the church, even though you're standing in the church, there's sin in the camp. And it's so odious. Now, across the world, the church has to ask itself, where are we as His people? Has this COVID plague on the world, which has been used to hit us over the head, has it been something that has driven you to your knees, brought you back to the humility that was there when you first cried the tear and saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Have we gotten back to Jesus? Well, across the world, I got to say, I don't see everywhere all the time, but I listen and I observe. And I don't see across the world a whole lot of things happening spiritually. I know we're fired up about our culture and our country and we want to do the right thing and we hope justice will prevail. But the problem is that sometimes justice doesn't even prevail in our own hearts. And so what is God going to do? Are we to the point that Israel was when Assyria came? Are we to the point where Judah was when Babylonians came? You see what I'm saying is that if it's that bad, then God may let us suffer a little bit in like Daniel and those guys, right? You see, Kaniah was the last king of Judah. And he was only able to reign for 3 months because he was forced by Babylonians to come. He was 18 years old. He was just a kid. He was the king. He'd gotten the throne. And he falls to the Babylonians. He just takes him, his wife, and all of his household, and he goes and falls to the Babylonians. And he was the last king in David's line to actually sit on the throne of Judah. And Jeremiah was there. You know, he was the zero-hour prophet for Judah. He was constantly telling them that you need to just open the gates and let the Babylonians in. We pushed the envelope too far, but most would not do it. But Jeconiah did. He actually fell to them, and he didn't do it as a nobility. The Bible actually calls him one who did evil in the sight of the Lord. But he did do that right, and therefore he did get a little plus. When he got to Babylon, he actually was rewarded with food from the king's table. But the problem was that the people of God in Israel that were still over in Judah, they were saying, he's our hope. He's still alive. Our king will come back. And they were constantly trying to figure out a reason to hope that maybe it's not so bad. You see, the storyline of the histories is profound indeed. Because what God says of Kaniah is, it says in Jeremiah chapter 22, it says, is this man Kaniah a despised broken idol? Why does he say that? Because they were worshiping the fact that he might come back. That he might be able to be liberated, be reinstalled or something. They would be willing for anything. And you know, that's a problem when a country gets ready to do anything. You know, we'll do anything. somebody had said it once back in, I think it was around World War II, Hitler era, and says, give us any man, give us anybody, be he God or the devil, and we will serve him if he can solve these problems we have. That's where we're getting, so that the world will say, we need a leader, and he's going to be the Antichrist. That's where we're getting. But this is what was there. These people had hope against hope. It says, is this man Keniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed? Why then is he and his seed cast out? And they're cast into a land that they don't know. Why is that? If he's an idol that you're supposed to be helping on, you're supposed to be leaning on his staff, you're supposed to be hope. He says, no, notice, he's been cast out. The Bible says he's cast out to a land they know not. He was taken away into Babylon. And then he says in Jeremiah's words, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless. A man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Do you know what he just did? God just said, David, you're going to have a seed to sit forever. And Keniah is directly in that line. And God just said there will be no more seed of David from this man coming into the throne. So does God have a conundrum? No, God has an opportunity. He has an opportunity to show on the canvas of human history how amazing of a God he is. 600 years later, a little girl named Mary is met with an angel named Gabriel, a hero of God, saying, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be the Savior, and he's going to have the kingdom, and he's going to sit on a throne. And Joseph just happens to be his dad. Not his biological dad, but the one who passes him back the throne. You see, because Mary comes from David too, through Nathan, his son. And Joseph comes down through Solomon. It's amazing to think about how much God does in human time that we miss. You have two lines, Solomonic, and you have the Nathanic lines that came and brought us Mary. They're both David's seed. And the one gives him the throne, but Keniah. Now, my point is this. This is huge. This is no little thing. The Bible tells us that they were betrothed. He goes to this girl, her name is Mary, and she's betrothed to Joseph of the house of David, and her name is Mary. You want to know something cool about her name and his name? His name means let him add. So what's he adding to this picture? He's adding the throne. He's not the biological father. He's the one who had to be there. I need you to be there, Joseph. I need you to show up, man. And he did. He did everything he could do and should do. He taught his son to be a carpenter. He protected his son. He protected his mother. I mean, Joseph provided. And he provided the pedigree that was necessary at this time. Now listen, guys. If you could just take that one stream, you could make a whole movie out of that one stream, how God did this. That's the movie right there. It's amazing. How did this happen? 600 years. God was not out of control at all. You know, it's sometimes funny because you sometimes trying to reach just a little further than you should, right? And you fall like ice or something's under you. Whatever. You're just reaching and then you fall. God never overreaches. He's never out of control. 600 years. And he hit his mark. And they're both there. The thing that was interesting to me, perhaps in the names area here that I'm pulling out for us today, is the name Mary. Mary's name means their rebellion. But you know what they were rebelling against, right? They were rebelling against all things evil. Women in the Bible named Mary in the New Testament, among them you'll remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was pretty awesome. I mean, she's going to be called blessed among women. She's going to be eulogized by other women forever. Why? Well, because her seed is going to be the seed of woman. Every woman was looking for that. All of the Babylonian lore back in the Tower of Babel about Semiramis and Tammuz and about Nimrod. Semiramis was the one who brought forth all of the false religions that we see today. It's embodied in Revelation 17 and 18, 17 being the religious side of things. She came up with this idea. She said, my son was virginally conceived. My son was raised from the dead. My son is the seed of woman.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.